Today on Theologically Thinking, Father William Chicanos of the Holy Apostles Church in Westchester, Illinois, joins us.
Before I say some things today about the godparents and the roles that we have as godparents, I wanted simply to follow up from the beautiful service that was celebrated yesterday, the presentation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the temple. It is a time and the opportunity we have to meet the Lord when he was brought as an infant, as according to the Jewish law. And we continue to do that, of course, as mothers do with their small infants today. On the 40th day following their birth, they bring the children, their little infants, they bring them to church so that they can be blessed and they can also receive a blessing from the church as well. We're still continuing that celebration. You will hear today the apologies, the concluding prayers. We'll also be reflecting on that particular service about how Simeon, before he was to die, was to see and his eyes were to feast upon the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he recited the prayer, which is recorded beautifully in the second gospel according to St. Luke. And also then we will see the icon of the presentation continuing to be outside of the church so that you, as you come in on Sunday, you will still remember it for a few more days. But today is a special day in our church, which we remember annually. All churches do it, but not on the same day as ours. But about this time, all of the Greek Orthodox churches in the United States observe what we call Godparents Sunday. And they do that because of the significance and the importance of this particular day. The responsibility of the parents, the godparents, and the children who are being baptized. And sometimes we have taken those roles to be rather lackadaisically. We don't take them responsibly as we should. And so each year we have to remind ourselves and others of our responsibilities. And also to prepare ourselves in the event that someone asks us to assume this awesome responsibility, that we will know exactly what that entails. What's responsible for it? What do we do if we're called upon to be a godparent? We have a little booklet in the HARC that we use. That is one that you can use and refer to from the time to time. But it is a booklet that helps us how to become a godparent. There's probably not a greater honor than is given to us as individuals by our brothers and sisters when they ask us to become sponsors of the church. But it also goes with it. It carries a responsibility, an enormous responsibility. It's a privilege indeed, but with this privilege are accompanied these responsibilities. So we want to reflect on just a few of them today, if we may. As the name itself indicates, godparent, that's a responsibility that we put the role of God first in our lives and to share that with the person whom we're going to baptize and bring into the church, into the faith. In the baptismal service, there's a word that we use not commonly referred to today, in Greek called anadochos. Anadochos is in dochos, to accept, to receive. Anadecho, I receive. And when the baby comes out of the baptismal font, he, the anadochos, or she, the anadochos, receives the small infant into their hands. And that's, again, another responsibility that is shown, that from this point on, that person is as responsible as the parents regarding the upbringing of the child. We need to be concerned about our spiritual life. And whenever we say yes to the person who is asking us, we should be very careful to know that what we are assuming, we know the teachings of the church. We know to express the love of Christ in the church and in our daily lives. If we don't know how to do those very basic things, I would humbly suggest that people not accept this responsibility, be very forthright and honest, and we'll go forth from there. Sometimes people have a problem, and that's not a very good sign in our church. They tell me that they know of no one that can baptize their child. And I think that the reason for that being that they're not involved in the life of the church. If you're involved in the life of the church and you meet other people, then you'll know who these people are, and you'll be prepared when and if the time comes to ask that appropriate person to become a sponsor for your child. But the spiritual life is what, as I said, is extremely important for us, because how are we going to give something to someone else if we don't possess it? So that means we have to do a lot of our homework, and we always have to continue to grow. We always have to continue to grow towards that direction. It is a mutual task, of course. It's not just the godparents' responsibility, but it's the parents. It's also grandparents. It's a family. There's an entire family that comes together for this, and they meet, and they share this responsibility. Because what we're saying here is we're going to teach this child to grow and live according to the Christ-like principles. We're going to take on the mind of Christ. And to do so, we have to know how to guide him towards that direction. Now, of course, there are questions that everyone has for the responsibilities, and I'm not saying that each person who becomes a godparent is also a theologian. That's not what I'm referring to. But there are a lot of the practicalities, the practices of the life of the church and the tradition of the church that we can convey that are not found even in Scripture, but we know how to do those. For instance, I think that everyone should know, but you would be surprised that there are many that do not know the creed when they come to receive that responsibility of being a godparent. Now, the creed is the testimony of our faith. It's a confession of our faith. 12 articles that tell exactly what we believe in. And if we can't pronounce the words, to know what the words say, to understand what the text says, then I think we have to do a great deal of learning and studying, because those are fundamental things that we need to have them. You have to ask yourself, am I really interested to seeing that person continue in the Christian faith in every possible way? And not just simply coming to receive Holy Communion, but to know to receive Holy Communion, to do so with great understanding. When the day of the baptism arrives, the sponsor, the godparent, stands in the back of the church with the priest, and they're asked to renounce Satan. Those are strong words. Do you renounce Satan, all of his demonic experience, all of his spirits? Yes. You must know what you're saying and do it. That means you don't accept anything that is evil in life. You try to avoid life, the evil things of life, as much as possible. And then to counteract that, you say, do you unite your life with Jesus Christ? Are you in union with Christ? In order to be a good godparent, you should be in union with Christ. I could see no other way. So that means your life is closely connected, knit with the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must know how to then instruct the person in faith, in believing, in prayer, know what the commandments of God are, and recite them with them. There's a lot of sharing together to do, other than just being together with people for their birthdays and for special occasions, graduations. We need, those are important, those are events of life that are important, but the important thing is to know how we can inject into their lives the things that they will be needing. Now, this does not deliver the parents' responsibilities. They're responsible as well, so it's a cooperative effort, and because the mission is so great and so holy, we need not just one person, not two persons, but many people to be involved in it. We have to remember to always, as duties, to keep in constant touch with that God child, to make certain that that child is taking the road of the path of life of Christ, to be following the church's instruction. As an Orthodox Christian, are you living fully as an Orthodox Christian, or are you wavering? You may have to know what you believe, what other churches believe in, not to be swayed, not to be attracted into other ways of worship. To provide the young child or the adult with a Bible, unless the family owns one, but to have their own Bible is important. And taking children to Holy Communion is important. Now, a lot of us are doing that on Sundays, and we notice that we take them for the children. That's good. You teach them how to receive communion, but you're not showing them that you also receive communion. Does this mean that the child can easily create in its mind an understanding that maybe communion is not for adults, maybe it's for children only? And that's why we line them up, we bring them into church, and that's, of course, a misnomer. That's not the correct teaching. The correct teaching is that we share the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, and we drink that all together, both parents, godparents, children as well. There are many other things that we can talk about, the practical things, but these are some of the important things that I want you to know and to remember if you are to be asked to be a cubaro, to be a sponsor, we call them a godparent, because you bring in the word God and you say, it's godliness that I bring into the life, my life, and to the life of the child that I'm assuming responsibility for. It's an extremely important thing, because I believe too one day that when we go to heaven and we stand before God, that we're also going to give an accounting, not only for our own personal children that God gives us, but our spiritual children as well. Were they faithful? Were we faithful? Etc. Not to just remember again on occasions and just times that really everyone else does, but the important lives of their lives. Share with them their spiritual growth. What is it they need to know more? What are they learning? And how are they growing? It's not just a one-day affair. Unfortunately, sometimes it happens. They can't avoid it. A sponsor could be 1,000 or 2,000 miles away. But I always at least encourage them through letters and email today, and also through telephones, we can keep in touch with that spiritual child. That child will know always who our Nuno and Nuna are, and we can teach them to grow in life with that reverence for that person as well. A lot has been said this morning, but I want you to remember some of the important things, especially when you're asked to be a sponsor, when you're asked to be a Nuno or Nuna. Ask yourself, first of all, am I worthy? Am I prepared? Can I do a good job of that? And that's what we need to do. So we will please remind ourselves of these responsibilities. And now before I leave this morning too, I'll ask you please to close your cell phones, because we're going to begin to speak with God this morning. And we want Him to speak with us and no one else. So please let's not have those interruptions during the services. They're an interruption for others around us, but more important to you personally. May the Lord of our Savior, the God, Jesus Christ, continue to watch over us and guide us, if we're sponsors, to do the thing that is right. If we're not, to make the right decisions that one day we may be asked as well. Amen.
You've been listening to Theologically Thinking with Father William Chicanos. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.